All right, B'simana Tava, B'zat Hashem, B'simana Tava, we're starting a new Chumash, Chumash Bamidbar. This is a very, very, very amazing book in the Torah, one of my favorites, filled with all of our leaders making huge mistakes and messing up, showing that they're human, you know, the part of the Torah that we like, that we connect to, that we can say that tzaddikim are making mistakes. In the nation as a whole, there's not too many mitzvot in Sefer Bamidbar that are relevant to us. There are mitzvot when you read the language of the psukim, but there were mitzvot that were relevant for the time that Am Yisrael was in the desert, and there are not mitzvot that are relevant for all times. There are a few mitzvot that are relevant to future generations, and that we haven't experienced yet. So this is mainly, we're going back to the stories in the Torah. Right, we had a book now, Vayikra, it was all laws of Kohanim, Torah Kohanim. So Sefer Bamidbar is about the journey through the desert and going into the different lessons that we can learn from all the stories that happened with these people as they were walking through the desert to come to Eretz Yisrael, which is always the goal, to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's always the goal of the Torah is to come to Eretz Yisrael. So, Bezat Hashem, the Torah talks about the counting of the Jewish people, different types of counting that happen, and there's many secrets about counting, but essentially, I heard a beautiful mashal that I'd like to repeat. It's very simple, just to understand why Hashem counts us. We have a few different beliefs about counting. One, we believe that counting something could cause danger. That's why we don't count people. Classically, Jews, right? You don't point to a Jew, a room of Jews, and say 1, 2, 3, 4 to count the minyan. That's actually forbidden. We don't do that. Right? You use a pasuk. You can use Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam. Amotzi lechem min haaretz. That's 10. Right? Hoshiya etamech uvarech nachlatech uvarech nesema ad olam. It's also 10. It's different pasukim. That's how you count. But you don't look at a bunch of Jews and say 1, 2, 3, 4. But here in the Torah, that's what's happening. Why? So, I heard a beautiful mashal that things that are important to you, you count. Right? Classically, this is said with a person who loves his money, so he counts every coin and he counts his money one by one to make sure and see how much he has. He wants to know how much money is in the bank account and how much do I have access to. He likes his money, it's dear to him, so he wants to know the number. And, for example, how many matches are in a matchbox?
50, 100. Depends on the matchbox.
Do you know the answer? How many matches are in the matchbox you have at home? Right now. Not when you bought it, now.
Zero. In my home, zero.
Okay. How many pieces of the toilet paper are on the roll? Now.
I'm sure there's a number.
Now. In your house, now.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
How many Cheerios are in the cereal box?
I don't know.
Why not?
Because it's not relevant to count.
There you go. Not only not relevant to count, you don't care about it.
Right.
So it's things you care about. You know how much they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you go into a dangerous place, you know exactly how much money you have in your bag. And what objects you have on you, possessions you have, right? You go through TSA, you know exactly what was in your bag, God forbid, and you know, afterwards you might even check to make sure. Why? Because these things count, and we want to know. Right? So counting here, the Torah always repeats this. Why is Hashem counting the Jews? Because of endearment. You already counted it, correct, but now it's again, because I love you so much, I love you so much. So today we're going to learn an idea about those that went out to the army. Talks about soldiers here. And who would go to the army? And it says kol zachar, every single male, miben 20 shana v'mala kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael tifkidu otam nitzivotam ata ve'aharon. Hashem says, I want you to count everybody that's going to the army from 20 years up. Right? I want you to count them. Count them according to their units and everything. Commandment, Hashem tells Moshe, I want you and Aaron to count all the soldiers that we have. Off that pasuk, Rabbi Natan's going to teach us something very, very, very beautiful. Ma she tziva Hashem yitbarach lisparotam. Why did Hashem command them to count these soldiers. Kol echad nikra yotze tzava, and they're all, each one of them as an individual is called yotze tzava. He's a going out to army, going to the army, so to say. Kemo shekatuv bechol mispar shekol shevet, like it's written in every single number, right? The number you get for each tribe. Mispar shemot kol yotze tzava. The number of names of those who go out to war, aka soldiers. כי כל אחד צריך להיות בכלל יוצא צבא. We all need to be יוצא צבא. We all need to be soldiers. Explain what that means. יוצא צבא דייקה. Those who go out to צבא. צבא is really hosts, right? We say Hashem צבקות. What's צבקות? Hosts. The Lord of hosts, whatever that is. Right? Why? What's hosts? The legions of the skies. Groups of stars. Massive groups of stars. Hashem's over them. Even, right, even there's tons of power in the heavens, hundreds of thousands of stars together, and then another group of hundreds of thousands of stars, aka galaxies and solar systems like we know of now in science, Hashem rules over all of that. That same word for those hosts, right, those legions up there, is the word that we use in Hebrew for the army, for the military, tzava, right? Tzava. So Rabbi Nathan's saying we all need to be called yotzei tzava. We're all yotzei tzava, daika specifically. Why? This is the aspect of nafik, to go out. Yotze, to go out. What does this mean? Likutei Moran, Torah 6. Reb Natan very, very rarely brings in the words of Reb Nachman. He usually tells you, like taught in that Torah, go learn there. Here, the whole part that he wants you to learn is specifically brought. It says like this. This is again from Torah 6 in Likutei Moran, in the 7th chamber or room, letter. שמי שרוצה לעשות תשובה, whoever wants to do תשובה, צריך שיהיה לו שני בקיאות. He has to be proficient in two different aspects. בקי ברצו, בקי בשוב. He has to know how to run, and he has to know how to return. שוב בחינת עייל ונפק. עייל means to ascend, נפק means to go out. Meaning, אם אסק שמיים שמעת, if I ascend up to the heavens, you're over there. שוב בחינת בקי ברצו. That's how you run. How does a person run in life? How do you grow in life? How do you have aspirations? You keep running, and when you reach the heavens, you see Hashem still over there. He's not here with you. Still a long way to go. You're trying to grow, you're trying to get bigger, you haven't even begun. Got to the heavens, that means Hashem's still over there. Right? That's the Sheol Ineka. But if I make my bed in hell, you're here right there with me. That's Baki B'Shov. That's how you return. That person needs to know when they're falling, so to say, when they're returning, when they're not making progress, Hashem's right there with you. Aperusha Peshutu. What's the simple explanation? Shemir Rotzei Lelech B'Derekei Tshuva. Whoever wants to go in the path of Tshuva, he has to gird his loins, so he has to strengthen himself in the ways of Hashem always. Meaning, no matter how you feel, you're going up, you're having a good day, a bad day, you know what Hashem wants from you. You know Halacha. Ben Baliyah, Ben Biyirida, whether you're having a good day, a bad day, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or New York, God forbid. No matter where you are, there's ways to serve Hashem. You have to be proficient in those ways of serving Hashem, so you know how to do it in different situations. אם אסק שמיים מציע שאול, if I get to the heavens, or if I make my bed down here, היינו בן שיזכה לאיזה עלייה, לאיזה מדרגה גדולה, אף על פי כן, לא על יעמוד שם, whether you get to a higher level, right? Meaning, I'm ascending, I'm getting to the heavens, where's Hashem? There. Meaning, you're ascending, don't be okay with where you've gotten. You're trying to grow? Yeah, you can be happy with your growth, but don't rest on this level. Grow. Keep going. Hashem's over there. So what? You're in the heavens. Hashem's still over there. You haven't gotten there yet. Keep going. Don't settle with where you've gotten so far in life. And this happens a lot with Balei Tshuva. A lot with Balei Tshuva. That not only you get a fire in the beginning to come back and everything you get in, you learn a certain approach in Torah and you know, okay, this is it. From here, I'm okay. I can leave yeshiva, I can this, and then I'll serve Hashem from this level. What? Why in the world would you do that? 20 years you didn't do it. All of a sudden you're in now, after a year and a half you think you've reached the level where you're okay, you can just rest here? It makes no sense, right? We always need to keep going. But you have to know how to do it professionally. Me'od, very, very professionally. You have to know and believe that I have to keep going, I have to keep going. There's still more to grow, there's still more to go. That's how to be proficient in running. Ayel, which is a sak shemaim shamata. If I make my head in the heavens, you're over there. So to the opposite, even if I fall, God forbid, wherever I fall, even in the depths of hell, you should never have despair. You always seek out, request, and make a beseech for Hashem to be close to you and for Him to bring you closer. Strengthen yourself no matter where you find yourself, with whatever you can strengthen yourself with. Because even in the depths of hell, you can find Hashem there. Even there, you can attach yourself to Hashem. And this is what it means, Tzil Sha'oli Neka. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. That's what it means to be proficient in returning, in falling, and falling back. Because it's impossible to go in the ways of tshuva if you don't have these two types of proficiencies. Up until there is the words of Rabbi Nachman. Now we go back to Rabbi Natan. And Rabbi Natan continues, As tzrich liot melumad b'milchama etev, we all need to be taught, we all need to be called Yotzei Tzava, those who go to the army, those who go to war, and we need to learn war very well. Balken tziva limnotam. Therefore, Hashem commanded Moshe and Aaron to count those who go out to war. Bichora tamua. That's a little bit of a tricky thing though. Like we said before, counting brings danger. Why would you take your soldiers that are meant to protect and be guarded and be strong and say, Moshe, go count all these people that shouldn't have ayin hara on them. Go put some sakana, go put some danger in their camp. Makes no sense. It's a question.
It says, the beginning of this Torah said that a Jew should always be on the derech toward Eretz Yisrael. And we learn from Rabbi Nachman that Eretz Yisrael represents the Eretz of Nisim and Eretz of Muna. Because the Shem's eyes are always on Eretz Yisrael, which everything is a miracle, everything's a shkoch kratis. And when you realize that, you get to a place of Amuna, right? Amuna is that everything's a shkoch kratis and everything's Shem and everything's good. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Nachman goes on to say, the aspect of counting is like one, two, three, right? So it's going outside of that realm of Amuna into Dinian. Like, it's not one anymore, there's two, there's three, it's correct. You, it's me, right?
Correct.
So in order, when you go from the realm of oneness and Amuna into counting, the counting represents concealment. So in order to go into that place of counting, you have to be a soldier and a warrior to realize, even though you see Yaakov, you see Eliyahu, you see other people, right? You need a warrior to go back to the Eretz Yisrael, which is, there is no two and three. There is no four and five. There's just one. See what I'm saying? So the counting itself is implying you're going. The counting itself implies you're going out of the realm of Enu and Vado into a realm of concealment where it seems to you like there's two, there's three, there's four, there's Yaakov, there's this, right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But how does
the warrior come back?
One second, guys. Just because it's a tangent, I'm going to stop so we can continue the show. You can answer right after. It's no problem. So if you want to go out to war, if you want to do this, like Gabe says, you have to know this very well, you have to learn war. So Hashem said to count them. Rabbi Natan says, how could you say to count them? We know that counting adds danger. After they already sinned with the golden calf, now we need to count. Anytime we do a sin, it's considered the aspect of a lost object. We lost something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you sin, you lose whatever you lose out on. You were meant to get a certain light. You were meant to have a certain bracha. All of a sudden, now you lost out on that. The lust of the wicked make them lose out.
Lose, uh-huh.
Right? They lose out on the world to come because they were so obsessed with this world. So you lose out.
Mm-hmm.
In a place where there's a strong energy of losing something, missing the mark of sin, of loss, so you need a count. Someone comes and robs a vault, and there was money in there, and there's still money left over. What do you do? What's the first thing you do? Count what's left over to know how much was stolen. So here in a place where you got the Torah, you shouldn't need to count ever again in your life. because we removed all the defilement of the snake, everything was done, we made ultimate tshuva, we just need to go inside the land of Israel now. After that, they go and they sin. Now you brought loss back into the world. Now we have to count. Now we have to count. What is the idea of counting now after you already have a reality of loss? I'm trying to check what I can guard. What do I have left over so I can protect it? So now this is not a counting that brings danger. I need a count so that nothing should be lost here. So there shouldn't be one soldier missing. I need a count to make sure that I have everything, that I can protect what I do have. Therefore, in the future, what Am Yisrael is going to do, the will of Hashem, in the highest way possible, and we're going to return, we're going to find all that could have been lost and all that was lost. It's going to be present. It says in Yeshaya, in the 27th Pasuk there, that all of those who were lost will come back in. And there's going to be an ingathering of the exiles, right? And there won't be any loss or danger or damage that will rule over them at all. For sure we're not going to count the Jews in. It's time of Geula where everything will be brought back. There's not going to be anything lost. Right? The story of the lost princess. When it comes back, there's not going to be anything lost. It's going to be okay. Right? Would anybody be able to count you? The Aftarah of this week also talks about the counting. It says like we're going to be like the sand at the sea. No one will be able to count you. It's the Jews are going to be in such a... So you could say, what is it, 600,000 souls, however many million people. The idea is bigger than that. You're not going to be able to fathom, you're not going to be able to put into numbers what Am Yisrael is and what the Koach of Am Yisrael is. After the sin of the golden calf, or in our day-to-day life, like Gabe was saying, if you sin, that means you're attached to this world. And this world is a world of numbers and limitations. So after a sin, now you have to be counted. Now you're back in the reality of counting. Al kena mispar u'tikun gadol. In that reality, after sin, after you have something that's lost, counting is a very big rectification. How much do I have here? How much was lost? You need to count in order to see the situation, to fix, to get anywhere closer to tikun. You have to count in that situation. Counting or numbers is a rectification of lost, the idea of lostness or losing something.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, before we get to the giving of the Torah, we have to count the children of Israel according to their camps and their flags before we get to Shavuot. Minu ve'etzu. Count them, and then do your chag. That's what the rabbis call this. Min'u, meaning do a census, and then atzeret, atzu, stop, yom tov. First, Bamidbar comes, and then Shavuot. First, we count the Jews, and then we go into the Torah. Why? Ki kar kabbalat haTorah shem klal kol halachot shem b'chinat b'kiyut halacha. What's the idea of getting a Torah, receiving a Torah? It's to receive all the halachot of practical ways to live and serve Hashem in this world. And what is the way to be proficient in growth and to do tshuva? You have to be baki b'alacha. You have to be well-versed and proficient in halacha. Which halachot? The halachot of running and the halachot of returning. A person wants to do tshuva, meaning to connect to Hashem at any given moment of their life. They need to know how to serve Hashem on the ups and on the downs. What's going to teach you to do that? The Torah. So what's the main aspect of getting the Torah? To be proficient and well-versed in halacha. And that's how you do it. Now, because of our sins, we don't have a mishkan, we don't have a bit of Mikdash, we don't have the camps of Israel with their flags. All of Am Yisrael is spread out across the world in exile. And we don't have chiyut, we don't have vitality without the Torah. And when we read these parashiyot, when we read these portions of the Torah, before Shavuot, by way of that, we draw down upon us the 600,000 souls of Israel, that all of them were Yotzei Tzava, they all went out to war. B'chinat melumdei milchama, they were, it's like Shlomo HaMelech, right? There's a verse that we say in Shema Yisrael al Amita, right? And it's in Shir HaShirim. Shishim Giburim, Ayu Shlomo, Shishim Gibruim Saviv Mitato. What's the verse again? Wow, how am I blacking out on this? Ine Mitato Shalishimo, Shishim Gibruim Saviv Lami Gibuay Sel Kulum Achuze Cherev Melumede Milchama, Ish Harbo Ali Arichom Ipachat Balelot. So we say, Shlomo had 60 warriors surrounding his bed. Each of them had their sword on their thigh, and they were all taught in war, meaning they're all well-versed warriors, skilled warriors. They knew how to fight. Melumadei milchama. So yotzei tzava, all of Amisra has to be yotzei tzava. They have to be soldiers that can go out to war, right? So too, they have to be melumadei milchama. They have to learn how to fight. It's not just that you're a warrior, you don't know how to fight. What does that mean? Shalchu kulam b'machane degalim. They all go in these camps of flags, saviv la mishkan, surrounding the mishkan, which is the aspect of maase merkava. Right, so to say, they made a merkava. They made a chariot where there's four camps, with three tribes each surrounding the kiddushah, surrounding the giving of the Torah. And by way of that, we talk about it. Right, we talk about all of that happening in the Torah in order to draw down that holiness so that we also merit to be included inside of their souls until we get to the Torah ourselves on Shavuot. Ve'ikar liot baki b'alacha. The main thing is to learn a lot of halacha and to be proficient in halacha. Shezeu ikar b'chinat kabbalat haTorah. This is the main aspect of receiving the Torah that will merit to get the ways of tshuva, to come back to Hashem truthfully, l'kei me'ata et kol divrei haTorah zot. From now on, I want to keep all the words of Torah. I want to keep the Torah. I want to be connected to Hashem. This is what it means. Shuvi shuvi ashulamit. Shuvi shuvi v'nechazevach. Shir Hashirim. And Shir Hashirim is all about a song about Am Yisrael being in Galut, writing a love song to Hashem, and Hashem writing back to us. It's this beautiful love letter between us and Hashem, and talking about how we're amongst the nations. And in there, Rashi says that one of the verses, which is Shuvi shuvi ashulamit, return, return, you complete one, come back so we can see you, we can be with you. Who's saying that line? To the Shulamit, to the complete one. The complete one is Knesset Yisrael, is Am Yisrael. And who's saying, come back so I can be with you? Who's saying that? The Goyim, the nations of the world. The Sitracha, the other side, that are always trying to seduce the souls of Israel to come back to them. Come back, come back. God forbid to come back to be amongst the Goyim. V'Yisrael meshivim lehem, Am Yisrael, what do they say to them? Ma techezu b'shulamit kimocholat ha-machanayim. What are you going to look at the Shulamit and see it as if it's the circle of camps resting around the giving of the Torah? Machanei degalim, right? These camps that rested there with their flags, with their banners. Meaning after we already got to Kedushah of Machanei degalim, now that we've read these parashiyot that have the census of Israel and the souls of Israel being counted and being organized in their camps with their flags and their banners according to their tribes around the receiving of the Torah, once we got that level of Kedusha, which means we draw down proficiency in Halacha, which means we know the ways to connect to Hashem and always stay connected to Hashem, whether we're going up or we're going down. I know how to strengthen myself no matter how many times I've fallen and no matter how far I've fallen. Nations of the world, you call me back, come back, come back. Once we have this level of Kedusha, you're not taking us away from Hashem. Once we've been part of surrounding our life around the Torah, waiting for Matan Torah, seeking our ways, Darkei Tshuva, right, Derech Hashem, coming closer to Hashem, knowing the ways and the strategies of how to connect to Hashem at any given moment, no matter whether I'm going up or down, who could touch you? When you have that Kedusha on you, when you know Halacha, when you know the path into Hashem, who could touch you? Who could seduce you? Who could pull you back in? Ma techazu b'shulamit? Why are you even looking at me? I have machanaim. I have the holiness of being in a camp. I'm part of a huge nation that is made up of tribes, and all we want is the Torah. What's a boy going to get me to come away from my tradition when I have that level of Kedusha, that level of clarity on me, that level of proficiency in Halacha, what I'm meant to do every single second? The main caution, the main warning about the order of how the tribes would be with their flags. V'chanu bnei Yisrael ish al machaneu v'ish al diglo. What was the main way you were meant to camp? Am Yisrael rested there, the children of Israel. Ish al machaneu, every single person belongs to a camp. V'ish al diglo, and he has a banner. Right, there's four camps, four groups of three tribes. That's 12. You had to be in the camp that you belong to, northern side camp, eastern, western, south. You had to be in the camp you belong to, and you had to be underneath the banner that you belong to. And this is important in our generation. I'm going to say it in a second. Ish al diklo ba'otot levet avotam, yechanu b'nei Yisrael mineged saviv lo'ol mo'ed yechanu. Ish al diklo ba'otot levet avotam. Each person has to go back to the sign that they have, the flag and the sign that they have from their father's house. And there's where you have to rest, around the tent of meeting, around the oil moed. Therefore, afterwards, also the verse praises them for this. The commandment was to rest that way, and that's how they did it, and that's how they traveled as well. We also traveled in formation. Meaning the main warning is, you need to know your place. You need to know how to stand on your place. Right? How did you receive the Torah? How did you surround the tent of meeting? Be in your camp, underneath your banner. Meaning know your place. I'm ascending right now. I'm doing good. I'm growing. Hashem's still over there. I'm in the worst place possible. Don't give up. Hashem's here with you right now. And from that, you learn how to come back. If Hashem's here with me right now, it's in order to inspire me to get out of the depths of hell, to get back up. And if I'm doing so good and I remember that Hashem's still over there, that means I have to stay humble. And there's ways to always stay connected to Hashem. But you have to know your place. Why? Don't start to mess up the boundaries and start to go into the camp of your friend. Start to go into places that don't belong to you. All of this is considered being proficient in halacha. Don't ruin the border. Don't mess up the boundaries. We believe in boundaries. We believe in being in your place. The second you start to go ascend above that and you want to poretz, break, right? Mashiach's great-grandfather is called Peretz. His brother was going to be born further. He shoved his arm out first. Right? There's a part of Mashiach that's not healthy, that is too revolutionary and takes things out of the norm. One day it's going to happen properly, but every time it's happened until it happens properly, it's usually a negative thing. Someone coming too revolutionary, to shake the boat too much. Everybody needs to know halacha proficiently, so that you do not ruin the boundaries and the borders. What does that mean? You fell? Okay, you fell. Great, you sinned. The Torah addresses that. What are you meant to do now? But if I sin and I don't know halacha, so how far am I stretching the boundaries until I fall out of the camp? Until I no longer belong to the nation of Israel? One sin could lead to a person and all of their offspring never being connected to Torah. If they don't understand the boundaries. Every single sin, the outcome of it is meant to be tshuva and come back to living a happy life with Hashem. If you think you're horrible, you're written off, you don't know the ways back, you're not proficient in halacha, so you might write yourself off, I'm so bad, I did such and such. And you, your family, your children, everybody written off from connection to Hashem because you messed up once. And you weren't proficient in halacha to know that all you have to do now is tshuva, which takes about 3 minutes. And a person goes super successful and they want to bring Mashiach and they want to do the right thing and they break rules and they, without, no, there's halacha, there's a way to act, there's a way to do things, balance. We don't want to ruin the boundaries. We don't want to break the fence. Ubifrat shelo yeh rodef achar kavod lichlos b'gvul chavero b'gashmiut. At least, the main warning is don't chase honor and respect so much that you start to go inside your friend's physical. Right, you started getting his pocket in his house, in his car, his wife, his, God forbid. Right, if you break boundaries, boundaries are boundaries. If you're able to break it here, you break it there. Who's to say his house is not your house, his wife is not your wife? There's dangers here. Therefore, they were warned and cautioned. Yishal machaneo, v'yishal diglo. Mineged saviv lo oil moed yachaneu. Everybody in their own place, your cap, your flag. Mineged saviv, and everybody in front of each other, around, surrounding the tent of meeting. Ki kulam tzichim liot nechonim ish al machaneu. Everybody has to be in their proper place. Everybody needs to belong to their camp. Saviv lo oil moed, and that surrounds the tent of meeting. By way of that, everyone gets to go in the path of tshuva, and they're able to become a man, adam, shutachlit shleimut merkava, which was the completion of, right, these four camps were in correspondence to the merkava. The merkava has four sides to it, right? The eagle, the ox, the lion, and man. What's the choices of those four animals?
What do you mean by choices?
What's the best?
Assuming man.
No assuming. Outright, you should say man.
Uh-huh.
You're less than an ox, you're less than an eagle, you're less than a lion.
Okay.
A man, of course.
In what context? What is
best? Out of the four of those, who's the best? The man, uh-huh. Of course. So same thing here. The four camps surrounding the Kiddushah, the tent of meeting in the middle. Four camps, it's like the Merkava. And what's the highest level of the Merkava? The man. So too, when you have this holiness of how to do tshuva, how to be connected, how to rest, how to ascend. You know your place. Now you're a man. Now you're a man. And you are the completion of the Merkava, meaning you're the completion of a vehicle of expression of godliness in this world, which is Machane de Galim Saviva Mishkan. This is the idea of camps with flags around the Mishkan. And now I want to say something outside of here. A lot of times we don't have a path. We have tons of inspiration to connect to Torah, but we don't have an actual path in Halacha. Right, we were learning in the Ramchal how important it is to understand principles and how important it is to understand the message of Judaism before you get into the nitty-gritty and the details of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
First, what are we coming to say as a people? And this happens in our generation a lot for Baalei Tshuva that are coming with no background from a house that has no tradition. So they might be a Jewish house, but they have no Judaism in their house that they came from. So you don't know, where do I belong? And then you find inspiration from here, inspiration from there, inspiration, but you don't have clarity. Right? And that's why you see in the Haredi world, that we're familiar more in Israel, right? Or if you live in New York, something new happens, they don't get excited. Why? I have a house. I know what I belong to. I know what I do. I have a house. This is how we do things. And that's there needs to be room for that in our perspective of Judaism. For example, Chabad, they're Chabad, and there's things that Chabad do. And a person could even go off the derech, and they would still consider themselves Chabad, because Chabad is the house. It's not the Ashkafa. The Ashkafa, obviously there is Ashkafa there. There is a worldview there, right? But what I meant to say is, they're one camp and one flag, right? That's around the tent of meeting. But the tent of meeting is the center. And what's the tent of meeting? Halacha, Torah, receiving the Kiddushah of how we're meant to live. But if you don't know your place, if you don't belong to somewhere, so you're for sure going to start taking the boundaries of other places, you're going to find yourself in other places, and you don't know where you stand, you don't know how to check yourself. You don't know if you're ascending, you don't know if you're descending, you have no one to cross-reference with, because you're like a freelancer. And there was no such reality in Am Yisrael of freelancers. Everybody belongs to a family, that family belongs to a tribe, and that tribe belongs to a section of Am Yisrael. Everything was clarified. Why? Because that's the holy way. That's the healthy way. To be a freelancer in spirituality without a backbone, so then it could be that the rabbi you look so much up to, he's going to say something off to you, you're going to get offended, and then I'm going to go rabbi shopping now, I'm going to switch my cap, I'm going to switch. Or you have a backbone. You know what I belong to. I'm a Sfaradi Jew. That means I follow Shulchan Aruch with Rav Ovadia in our generation, for example. No matter what happens spiritually, no matter what new revolution happens in the world, I have my home that I belong to. Vision has this. All the people that do this the best in our generation are the Hasidic communities. They're, for the most part, pretty much all the same. And then they're different. Meaning they're all Hasidim, right? But they have their own minagim. Bells, for example. Bells, pretty much every bell's house, they sing the same nigunim on their tables on Shabbat. They dress the same. They're going to go to the bells of Mikdash, right? The big shul, the hells, 10,000 people. But within bells, you have people that are businessmen outright, millionaires. You have people that are doing backing TV channels for Kiruv. When they might have friends that they learn with that are completely against having TV in the house. Because Bells is the house. But where it's around the tent of meeting, it's around the Kedusha, it's around the holiness. So when the Torah is your basis, and you have a house, meaning you have a path, you have how you approach Halacha, you have the Chachamim that taught you what you do, you have this, and you stay loyal and true to that, and if you don't have it, you have to create it. We all have an obligation right now. If you didn't grow up with that, you have to create it. What does that mean to create it? What are certain traditions we sing in our house? What are the songs we sing on the table at home? What are things that we do? What are things that we don't do? What are the things that our family's passionate about? The things that we're not? For example, Vishnus, their thing is singing. They're very simple. Hasidim, they like to sing a lot. Friday night tish by the Rebbe. You ask a Vishnus person, you ask different Hasidiyot, what makes you a Belzer Hasid? What makes you this? They're not going to start to teach you Ashkafa. Even Chabad, you ask Chabadnik, what makes you a Chabadnik? It's not that my Judaism is the path and there's no other path. That's not what the answer is. I hope not, at least. Right? The answer is, we have our Minhag, we have our Rebbe, we do Miftzayim. It's like, they're not talking about philosophical things. They're talking about home things. They're talking about behaviors. And if you don't have that, it means you don't have Yiddishkeit. You don't have Judaism at its core. Because there's many things that we do as a people that are not written in the books. And they're holier than what's written in the books. It's the home. And if you don't have that, the religion might not be enough to keep you connected. Because you're going to be like a fish out of sea no matter where you go. And you never have this basis to come back to. And even if I'm misbehaving, even if I don't connect with religion, I'm still a Vishnitzer. I'm still a Chabadnik. I'm still a Bresler. I'm still a Sephardi. I still have a home that I belong to. That has nothing to do with my religion. Same thing in our houses. We're going to create a house. Religion is part of that. But our children need to feel welcome at home, regardless of religion, regardless of anything. That will give them much more identity, that they belong to something. So no matter what happens when they grow older, they'll always have something to come back to that, of course, is rooted in Torah. I'm telling you to make your house according to Torah, not to just make whatever you feel, right? Bring in good minagim, bring in good practices. Build up the identity of your house, of your flag, of your tribe if you don't have one. And if you do have one, then be appreciative of it and embrace it, right? Don't go away from what your father and your mother taught us. There's some of the principles. There's psukim in the Tanakh that talk about this. Minahag is a holy thing in Am Yisrael. Knowing where you belong is a holy thing. And yes, there's certain people that their rabbis in their camp tell them, we don't do that thing in Halacha. We don't do that thing. This is how we do. This is how we behave. That's great. That's important. And it could be another camp that they have another behavior. But if you're in this camp and you think you're meant to behave like that camp, it's exactly what Reb Natan told you not to do. Don't stretch the borders, because you're going to start to go into encroaching in your friend's turf, and that's not what's meant to happen. Right? So this is a lot more to be said here. It's a deep, deep topic, but I felt it was important to say as well, especially for us as Balei Tshuva and converts that didn't come from this insular communities that have such fortified walls and customs. And we didn't come from that. We came from the open world of liberalism and Napoleon mindset that not even the state matters anymore, right? It used to be you have a religion which was a god. Then that switched into a nation. Now the nations in the liberal world is not even okay. You're meant to just be an individual. That's the destruction of the world. It's the destruction of the world. The Torah is not for that. You're meant to be an individual that belongs to a family, that belongs to a tribe, that belongs to a camp. And that's the way to succeed in life. Zat Hashem, Shabbat, Shalom, u'mevorach. May we understand the importance of having a proper root and a proper basis and a path. No matter what you choose, it's okay. Just choose something in Halacha. The main thing that you have to pick is an Halachic path. Because that's the most consistent. That's where there's the most confusion. You have one posek, what does he say? And you go with it. Because if not, then very easily you take the chumras of this guy and the kulas of that guy, and then you're not even keeping Torah. That's already said in the Gemara. You can't take the kulas of Beit Hillel and the chumras of Beit Shammai. You're 100% going to get into a halachic contradiction. So same thing now. If you're Ashkenazi, follow Ashkenazi Psika. If you're Sephardi, follow Sephardi Psika. If you don't know what to do, follow Sephardi Psika. It's very simple. Just follow. Just follow a path. Then any question comes up, yeah, you might have to eat it sometimes. Or you feel strong connection to something else that's permitted in another camp. In your camp, they say no. I'll give you an example. Sephardi, Alacha, does not permit a person to go inside of a hot mikveh on Shabbat. You know how bad that sucks? Mm. When you don't have a mikveh around you that's Sephardi, and everything's Ashkenazi, and you can't go dip. So what do? You wake up in the morning, you really want to go to the mikveh, and mikveh you know is a holy thing to do. 100% is a holy thing to do. But Alacha says you can't. You go? There you go, right? So there's ways, exactly, but then you have to learn, right? It's being proficient. So when you have, again, so, but these are the things, but I'll tell you as a person that goes through this myself, this idea of the mikveh every morning on Shabbat. I wake up in the morning, I want to go to the mikveh. Get there, the water is hot. After I walk 20 minutes out of my way to get there, and the water is hot, and you don't go in, I belong. I have a camp I belong to. I didn't get what I wanted to do, my personal additional bonus that's not mandatory to do anyway. It's just a mikveh. It's a bonus thing to do. I wanted to do it. More important is to keep halacha. More important is to keep halacha. And there's many things like this. But Bezat Hashem, we each find our own path. We each find our father's house, our family, our tribe, our flags. And we stand around the tent of meeting in order to receive the Torah. And no nation in the world, whether they're physical nations and people or internal traits, aka the nations, right? The traits inside of us, the negative fallen traits, will pull us away when we have that kedusha of I belong, I have a path, and it surrounds itself around the Torah. Shabbat shalom.